بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
What first and
foremost,
for?
hey, first and foremost, go get your Islamic trivia cards on Dinified.com. We got 100 Islamic trivia questions from the game that you see us play all the time on social media. Bro, go get your question.
Part one is already sold out,
bro,
man.
Bro, support the da'wah, bro. You're supporting the da'wah by copying them as well. So, let's get into the topic of this episode. Our brother just got off of work. We're filming this at like 9:30 at night, bro. So,
hope y'all see the dedication.
Topic I wanted to bring today, inshallah, was talking about reassurance, reassuring our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How there's a lot of things that happen in life, even when you feel like you're doing everything right, but you still may feel like, you know, some distance from Allah. You feel like your du'as may not be heard as much, or you feel like, I don't know, I'm making this dua, but I don't know what's going to happen. You know, you feel like some sort of doubt in the qadr of Allah. And then also, you may not feel motivated to get up and pray, or you're not feeling the khushu' in your prayer, your iman is feeling low. All these types of different things that can happen to a Muslim, aside from just like the physical stuff that can happen, like losing a family member, losing a friend, having someone you're interested in for marriage and it not working out. All these types of different like calamities that may happen in your life. But these are some of the ones that are hardest to deal with because they're spiritual, they're mental. They affect us on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Like the prayer, if we're not feeling it, this is something that we do on a daily basis. If we're not feeling it the same, then how are we going to continue in that way? Like we're going to start feeling like the prayer doesn't matter as much.
We got to understand that our iman is a more important gift than all the other calamities that you just brought up. It's more important than our family. It's more important than our livelihood. It's more important than our jobs. It's more important than our school. It's more important than whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you think that, you know, you live for. No, your prayer, your iman is more important than that. And that is the greatest gift of all. So that is the first thing you got to take care of before anything else, because that's literally your foundation.
And I think that's so undermined. And I wish everybody could hear that. Like, I really wish everyone could hear that, because your iman, it's something which, like, it's the blessing that you have and you know about it. Think about it. When you look at another person and you see like it, like, dang, like you want to advise them, you want to help them, you look at them, it's because they have a lack of iman. You look at them and it's like, why don't you look at iman as such a big blessing and such a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when you look at other people without it, you can really see that. And I wanted to add on, I wish a lot of people nowadays really acknowledge that this test that we have, like with iman, with your spirituality, and like they think, like, subhanAllah, we have really nice things. There's no one trying to kill us. We're full bellies. All these things. We have a lot of things to be grateful for. But a lot of people, they lack this. They lack the iman. They lack the faith. They lack the tawakkul, the spirituality, for them to be grateful for it, and so for them to even think about it. It's like we lack the manners. We lack the all of these things.
When Allah says that if you're grateful, He'll increase you, but yet you're not even grateful for your iman. Like, you know, just think about that. If you're grateful for that, you think Allah's not going to just raise you in ranks. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have those times when you're going to be having doubts. It doesn't mean you're going to not have those times when you feel like your du'as aren't being answered. But just the fact that Allah will raise you in ranks and that He'll increase you in knowledge, He'll increase you in wisdom, you know, He'll help you, He'll guide you throughout the way.
I want you to imagine this as well. Like, you know, those times when your iman is high up, right? Every single prayer is going well. You may be making dhikr. Even just what you're doing throughout your day, it doesn't feel mundane. You're doing the same thing that you do on a daily basis, but it feels good. You know, you feel good to go about your day. You're happy. There's always good thoughts in your mind. But then think about those days when everything feels mundane. Everything just feels like, what am I doing with my life? Even though you're still praying, you're still doing your same routine, but for some reason, it just shifts. And it's like that quietness, that stillness in life, it's a sign from Allah. Like, mm-hmm. The iman is not just a feeling, bro. It's not just a feeling. This is discipline that you're building with Allah. You're not finding rest in the dunya, right? Everything that you do, you may feel good within this dunya doing certain things, but you don't find rest in that. So Allah may take that away from you. May take that feeling away from you, like that. Oh, all the stuff that you're doing, that's cool. But imagine when I take it away. Are you still going to pray? Are you still going to be
exactly
doing these acts of worship?
Because that's the thing. If I came out here and I said, I'm the best boxer in the world, you think nobody's going to challenge me on that? So if I'm sitting here saying I'm a true servant of Allah, you think Allah's not going to test me on that? Like those same days when I don't feel like praying, am I going to still get up and pray? It's like what people say. You got two types of people that go to the gym. You got the person that goes every single day, whether they feel like it or not. And then you got the other person that goes only when they feel like it. Who's going to see more results? Obviously, the person that goes even when they don't feel like it, because those are the days that count most. When you're hurting, when you feel far, when you feel like you're not going nowhere and you still get up and you put your best foot forward, there's no beating that. Because you're right here. You know what I mean? Like, look, I want you to imagine this. Just like I brought up before. Those times when you sit there and you're feeling lazy and you don't feel like praying and yet you still got up and prayed, imagine the reward of that. Because, look, it was hard upon you and yet you still put your desires and your feelings aside because your actions for that day weren't determined by how you were feeling. But yet it was determined by what you knew was coming. You knew that the day of judgment was coming. You knew that your death was coming. And I want you to imagine this. You as a human being, you forget things, right? And forgetting things can be something that is praiseworthy and it could be something that, you know, is a very bad thing, right? Something that you're blamed for. Now, you might be asking me, what is there to be praiseworthy for if you forget something? Forgetting about another person's, you know, bad actions, forgetting about another person's shortcomings, forgetting the bad things that happened to your life and just moving on to the next thing. These are things that you're praised for. But forgetting things, you forgot about the day of judgment that caused the husband to cheat on his wife. You forgot about the day of judgment that caused the wife to cheat on her husband. You forgot about the day of judgment. You forgot to pray. You forgot about the day of judgment that caused you to go ahead and seek haram. You forgot about the day of judgment that caused you to go out and seek your desire and go to places where you shouldn't have been. These are things that you just have to think about, right? Even when you're feeling far from Allah, because that's the times when things count. Because that's the deception of shaitan. He's going to get you to try to forget. Because he knows that's what we do as human beings. We're weak. Al-insan yunsa. Like the human being forgets. That's just how we are. And when you let shaitan take advantage of that, like that's how you truly lose.
You know, one of the biggest things here, the reality of this world is it's not a reality of feelings. It's a reality of action. It's a reality of what did you do? When does a Muslim become a kafir? When he abandons the salah, when he abandons the action of praying to Allah, it's not a matter of, do I feel like doing this? Do I feel like not doing that? Like that reassurance, that's the thing. We are all human beings. I don't care who it is. They felt like not doing what they do right now. They felt like not doing it. It doesn't matter. Every winner has felt like quitting. Every person, they've all felt the same feelings that you feel. There's nothing special between you and them. That's one of the things I like to view as like humbleness. There's nothing special between me and the next person. There's nothing special between us. If I put in the work, if I want something hard enough, and if I want it, if you want something bad enough, and you're patient, and you wait long enough, and you wait, and you place your trust in God, I really, truly believe with my heart, there's going to be nothing from stopping you from you attaining that eventually, whether it be here or in Jannah.
Yeah, that's the thing, because we've always heard this growing up, that, oh yeah, hard work beats talent, but like, really think about it. Like, imagine you're a person where memorizing Quran is easy for you. You have such a beautiful voice. And then you have the next person where it's hard for them to learn Arabic and their tajweed is not all that perfect. But yet that person, since it's so easy for them, they're like, yeah, I'll just go read Quran another time. Or I don't really have to because I can go memorize a page whenever I want to. Just think about that type of mentality. Then you have that other person where it's like, man, it's hard for me to read. I don't care. I'm going to go letter by letter until I get this whole sentence down. Notice I just said sentence. And imagine the reward of that. You think the reward is going to be the same? Absolutely not, because one person is putting in way more effort, and alhamdulillah that Allah is the judge and Allah is the most just, because Allah is not going to look at it on how much you get done, but by how much that you put your effort in. If you truly did your best, Allah is going to reward you.
There's literally a hadith about if you struggle to read the Quran, you get double the reward versus someone who reads fluently.
Exactly. But like, just think about it. When things are hard, like that's when things like they matter the most.
I'll give you an example.
Hold on. Because I was just about to say, one thing I'm always told about is when you're at a state, when you're up here, is the time when you want to build all those good habits, right? Because when you're down here, you still sticking with those habits. You know why? Because when you was up here, when you was all comfortable, when you were about to get complacent and you still stuck with those good habits, when you get down here, when times are hard, it's not going to be as hard because you already have everything built in place. You have the discipline. You know what to do. You know what I mean? You have a direction. You have a guide. It's like, you know, I prayed all my sunnah prayers even when things were easy in my life. Now, when things get hard, I want to go pray them. Or I know exactly what to do. And they're going to keep pushing me forward, keep pushing me forward until, you know, I reach my goals, until I get to where I want to be.
I want to give you guys some perspective, actually, too. Regarding, like, how you remind yourself of Allah constantly, like, if it's seeking reminders of, you know, very, like, gentleness, calmness, speakers who are very like who give off this very like calm vibe versus people who are a little, you know, they give you that harsh reality check. You should have a healthy like balance of both. And why I say this is because sometimes, yes, we need that compassion. We need to like feel that love, that when this person is reminding us of Allah, it's like, oh, wow, Allah is so merciful. He's very compassionate. He's very loving. But then you also need that reminder of the day of judgment. Allah would not have told you about his punishment and how he's going to punish people if he didn't need you to fear that. If he didn't need you to understand, like, look, there's two sides to this coin. There's one where Allah will grant you all this mercy and he'll forgive you without even a second thought. But then there's also that one where if you neglect it for even just a little bit, it may turn into heedlessness and he may stray you further away than you ever thought you could just because you didn't think too much of it. Mm-hmm. But that's why, like, even for myself, I have to give myself some of these, like, harsh reality checks because I'm like, bro, the day of judgment is real. Like, you can't just sit here and be complacent, banking on Allah's mercy all the time, bro. You also have to bank on his wrath. That his wrath is a real thing. Allah's default is always going to show you to show you mercy, but his wrath is also there. And it's there for even people who claim to be Muslims. That's why you have to be fearful of being someone who can fall into hypocrisy, someone who can fall into heedlessness, falling into what the former peoples fell into. Like, look at the Prophet. Some of these other nations were sent. They were sent people like Musa alayhi salam, Khalilullah, who is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And people disbelieved in them. Like, you think that you're safe from disbelief? You're not. Well, we're not. There's a reason why there are du'as that we're told to seek refuge in Allah from disbelief, from arrogance, from ignorance, from knowledge that does not even benefit us, from a heart that does not submit. SubhanAllah. I was gonna let you talk.
Man, I forgot.
I wanted to bring up, SubhanAllah, when we talk about reassurance, Zakariya alayhi salam, he reached the old age. He wanted a child. His wife was barren. When he went. And he saw Maryam alayhi salam, he saw what? Wajid indaha rizqa. He saw that she had provision. And then what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, hunalika da'a Zakariya. In that moment, Zakariya, he made dua. In that moment, he had the iman. One moment, that's the key takeaway here. One moment, Zakariya made that dua and that dua was responded to. SubhanAllah, you might pray your entire life, you're making the same dua over and over again, just for one moment, at this particular moment, Allahu Akbar. The dua is answered.
And that's what I'm saying. It's always that one thing. It's always that one thing. Like that's why we always, when I bring up, oh, you might be once in a prayer away from you entering Jannah or you going to the hellfire. Just always think about that. You know what I mean? Next time when you're thinking, oh man, should I make dua in this moment or should I pray the sunnah prayers in this moment? Just do it. You're already right there. You might as well. Because you never know. That could literally save you right there. That could literally open up all the doors that you've been waiting on, that they've all been closed on you for. And that moment, everything was opened up because you decided to make that decision. You know why? Because you sat there in the moment and you contemplated, should I do this or not? And you still did it.
I actually also want to bring up this. Look, if you're struggling to, like, do a good deed or give up a sin, think about the one you're trying to give it up for or you're trying to do it for. You're trying to do it for Allah. So if you seek out Allah saying, oh Allah, I want to do this good deed for your sake. Oh Allah, I want to give up this sin for your sake. Do you not think that Allah would make it so easy for you? Because you're trying to earn Allah's love. You're trying to earn his bounty by doing something good or leaving something bad. Shaitan is going to be the one who wants to push you to say this struggle or to leave it off, you know, take your time, this and that. Allah can make you do it in one night if he really wanted to is what I mean. If you're making dua and if you're constantly asking Allah, like, oh, I need to give up this thing or I'm trying to adopt this good deed, but it's hard for me. Oh, I want to be in the masjid more, but it's hard for me. But who is the one you're asking? Who's the one you're seeking out?
And perhaps through that struggle, you really understand your position in this world and you really understand your position with this creator and you really submit yourself, subhanAllah. And I wanted to bring up, we bring up shaitan. People don't realize how, like, everyone says, shaitan, he's a clear enemy to us. We talk about Satan, we talk about his story, Adam alayhi salam, literally, but no one really thinks about it. No one thinks about the thoughts they get from him or no one thinks about his tactics. What does shaitan use? Shaitan uses deception. You know, one of the biggest forms of deception I see today, excuses. What are the reasons you didn't do this X, Y, and Z? Like, I'll give you an example. If I were to come and punch Usman in the face because I was extremely angry, my excuse would be that I'm angry, but that's not an excuse. That's not going to work. In what world would me being angry give me an excuse to punch him? Deception. It caused me to go out and law them, become an oppressor.
Because Shaitan's biggest deception is just beautifying things for you. Because you got to understand, we all have this image in our head from cartoons. Oh, Shaitan is this red thing with horns on his head and, you know, holding a staff. But in reality, that's the complete opposite. Shaitan will come to you in the form of a beautiful woman or in the form of, you know,
good feelings.
You know, exactly. You know, things of that nature. You got to understand, like, Shaitan, like, is deception. He understands, like, how the human being works. And obviously, something with red horns that's ugly is not going to be something that we're attracted to. But something that he can beautify and make look good for you right now is the way that he's going to approach you.
And you want to know, like, some insight. You talk about all the good things, all the blessings of Islam. You talk about all these things. But Allah, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about people who disbelieve and people who do wrong things, like bad things. And like disbelievers, he talks about it and he says they don't perceive it. They don't perceive it. It's not something. You see them, they say that they're doing the best things. But in reality, they're not doing good things. You get that. They're out there committing oppression, but they say they're doing good things. This is from, it's clear deception. Shaitan has made them think that they're doing good things. It's like we say, oh, we call it mental illness, but really it's just a lack of understanding.
You know, it's so crazy that you bring that up. Like sometimes, like obviously, like what makes me kind of fearful is when I'm listening to a lecture and the imam brings up a point and it feels like it just went right over my head. I didn't really get that point. I'm like, dude, I don't want to be heedless at this point. Yeah. So I'm like, I go back, I listen to it again, and I'm like, dude, I'm still not understanding. And I'm like, and then it's just like, dude, like that's just a sign for me to be like, bro, like that just shows you, you know, I could be completely heedless or something because I'm not even understanding what he's saying. And the words are coming directly to me. I heard exactly what he said. I can like sort of understand what he's saying, but I'm not truly understanding, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys get what I'm saying.
Bro, actually, this happened to me when I would be reading Quran during Ramadan, and I was like doing khatam. And there would be parts where, like, I just didn't understand exactly what Allah was saying. So I was like, what the fudge? So I'd go back and I'd listen to it again. And I'd read the translation. I'm like, bro, I'm not understanding the message here. So then I'd go all the way into the tafsir and read the whole thing to just be like, okay, what am I being told right now? But sometimes that's what you got to do. Like, you really have to put yourself in a position where, like, things are not going to stop you from attaining what you want. And here's a point I want to bring up. If you ever find yourself getting comfortable in this dunya, then Allah may start taking it away from you so that you can find rest in Him rather than finding rest in this place. Because if we're supposed to be travelers in this dunya, why are we coming in here and bringing all of our stuff here and trying to leave behind this legacy, or trying to do everything that we possibly can, trying to suck out every single thing that we can get from the dunya, although this is not our final abode? This is not where we're from. This is not what we're like. This is not what we're chasing. We're not chasing what the dunya has to offer. Maybe we can explore it a little bit and, you know, admire Allah and let it bring us closer to Allah in a certain way. But if you start doing too much to the point where some things become non-beneficial to you, then you're going to see how Allah may take that away as a blessing for you. But you may see it as something like, oh, like I can't get anything that I want. Like, none of the goals I've been setting for myself have been happening to me. Maybe those goals were taking away from Allah, mm-hmm. or they were going to. But you just don't perceive it. And how many times has Allah told us in the Quran, if only you knew, if only you knew, right? Like, think of yourself in that position, right? Think about how, like, if you think better of Allah, you will always think better of yourself. But if you don't know yourself enough, and know your own, like, own inclinations and your desires, then how are you going to know Allah and be able to actually understand where His mercy is derived from?
Man, I was going to bring up, like, just thinking about, always thinking about, like, Allah and everything like that. Just think about the things that you even do here on this dunya, right? That for a lot of people could drive them away from Allah. How can you involve Allah in your daily life? Like, I want you to just name something of this dunya. Name something.
Car.
Okay, a car. You can use this car as a form of transportation. Oh, I'm looking at this car. I can go to Jumu'ah with this. I can do X, Y, and Z with it. Do all these sorts of good things. And on the other hand, you can have the other person using the car only to go do haram. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's always two ways to look at things. You know, don't always look at, oh, I got this type of blessing, I'm just going to go, you know, just the dunya. No, you can always make the best of what you have. You know what I mean?
And think of this real quick. Just when he said go to like a whole bunch of haram, think about this. Someone... It's a haram relationship. So he goes home to his haram relationship. He has a haram job. He goes to his haram job. He goes and gambles. He goes to this casino. All these things are haram. And he got this car using haram money. Boom. Every single thing that he has is haram. And actually, let me remind you guys of hadith where it was talking about like making dua, but they wonder why their dua is not accepted. But look at like where everything all his provisions come from. Everything that he does, it comes from haram. It's derived from haram. Yeah. It's not derived from, you know, the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bounty of Allah is never going to be from something that's haram. Because Allah's going to give the blessings of this world to people He loves and people He doesn't love. He's not going to always give it to people that He doesn't love in the halal. He's gonna allow them to find wealth from the haram, because wealth doesn't matter to Allah. On the day of judgment, Allah tells us many times that your wealth will not avail you. Your authority will not avail you. Nothing that you have in this world besides your actions, besides your good deeds, will avail you on the day of judgment.
And that does not... Okay, go ahead.
And even then, you still won't enter Jannah with that.
Mm-hmm. And that does not mean that having wealth is a bad thing. Because you can also use your wealth, on the other hand, to feed your family, to feed yourself, to clothe yourself, to feed the poor, to help people out. you know, things of that nature. You see what I'm saying? Like, you could go from one end to the other end just like that. And it could all just be a mindset thing because mm-hmm. you set the intention. That's the first step. All your actions are based off your intention. If you're like, man, I want to get a high-paying job just so I can provide for myself and my family and then provide for other people because I'll have the funds to. Like, just think about how beautiful that type of mindset is. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that obviously that's going to come easy because it doesn't. You know what I mean? Because you're going to actually have to go out there. You're going to have to work. You're going to have to, you know, ask Allah for his provision day in and day out until it comes to you. You know, and it may not come to you in this dunya. You know what I mean? But the fact that you sat there and you tried, you strived in the way of Allah, Allah will reward you for that.
And striving our best to keep our intentions pure. Because if our actions are judged by intentions, and let's say like something that we're doing, we're like on the fence. We have no idea whether it's fully haram or if it's halal and these types of things. Don't always try to hide behind your intention. Try, for one, keep yourself informed. Try your best to keep yourself informed and also have hope in Allah's mercy that if you were doing wrong, right? We all do sins and we all do sins that we don't know. We do things that we're unaware of. We do things unknowingly and knowingly. We do things that we don't consider to be sins. So like constantly seeking forgiveness from all of those types of things is very beneficial for you because you understand that, look, bro, I'm not perfect. Even no matter how I go about my day, I may do nothing throughout my day. I still probably committed a sin.
And I like this type of mindset because the fact that you know that you're messing up is such a good thing, right? Because, bro, nothing is worse than the person when you try to come to them with advice, right? And all they do is give you 1,000 reasons why.
Excuses, bro. Like, it's that deception,
bro. Bro, it's 1,000 reasons why they're not wrong. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Oh my God. I couldn't deal with it, bro. This week, I was scrolling through Instagram, right? And like, you know, I was seeing some not so good things and I looked through the comment section and these people are advising this person that's not doing such good things, right? Because this person is a Muslim. Then you got other people defending it. Oh, you got to worry about yourself and you don't know. Oh, actions are by intention or why are you getting up in their business? Like, bro, at the end of the day, like you have someone here actively trying to advise you. Like, you got to understand this person probably cares. No, this person does care for you a lot more than those other people sitting there trying to defend you to do the wrong thing. Because I'd rather someone sit there and offend me trying to give me the right advice than someone trying to defend me doing the wrong. Because at the end of the day, what's going to help me on the day of judgment? What's going to help me after I pass away? Is it going to be that person that, you know, that gave me that harsh advice? Or is it going to be that person that, you know, defended me doing my wrong and let me keep doing what I'm doing? Because I can tell you that person that let me keep on doing what I'm doing does not truly care about me. The person that truly cared about me is the person that wants to see the best for me. And that may not be in this world here. I don't care if I'm not smiling in this world. If I'm going to be one of those people smiling on the day of judgment because you decided to give me that one advice, to delete that one video, to delete that one comment, to stop doing such thing, then I'm going to be happy with you. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to thank you, right? How many times we've been in a situation, even in this dunya, right? You go out, you do something, that person gets mad at you, and then they thank you later. Plenty of times. It happens. So you think it's not going to happen on the day of judgment? You think it's not going to happen? Like, you might be one of those people that enter Jannah, may Allah grant us all Jannah, and you know, you happy with it.
I wanted to bring that up real quick, too. When you think about like, so if you have friends or anyone who gives you advice, I want you to think about the way you respond to these types of things. Because the character of a Muslim is, yes, for one, to give advice, genuinely wanting what's best for that person. But your response should also be genuinely looking for what's best in that person. Think of, like, even if they're harsh, maybe they didn't know. Maybe they don't know how they're dealing with me. And I could advise you on that. But let me understand what you're trying to tell me. Because if you're... First step is to defend whatever it is you're doing before even thinking, okay, what are they saying? What are they telling me? Why are they even giving me advice? What do I need advice on? Because those are the types of people you want in your life. When they can tell you something, you're like, okay, hold on, let me think. Like maybe they're right. Or even if they follow like a different opinion or whatever, okay, I understand where you're coming from. Let me explain to you what I follow. How hard is it to do that? But defending something, because look, if it actually is haram and you come on the day of judgment and you neglected that, you became arrogant. How are you not seeing this as arrogance? When you defend something like this, this is kibr, bro. How? Like, look at the stories in the Quran. Look at, I'll give you Qarun, bro. He used to have such beautiful recitation of the Torah, but he was given wealth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he attributed it to himself. When he was told and advised against it, he said no. He said, Allah would never take this away from me. The man from the two gardens in Surah Al-Kahf. We should be reading this every Friday, subhanAllah. And look at what happened to him. and how Allah literally took all of his blessings away because he attributed his wealth and his provisions and all of the gifts and blessings Allah gave him to himself. While the man who had less, look at what Allah had blessed him with, the gift of Iman. That's the greatest gift, the greatest blessing. That's the greatest currency, like you said, is what your actions are on the Day of Judgment.
Look,
and
similarly,
where your actions are going to come from is from the Iman that you have.
Look, similarly, the way that we place our trust in Allah for the provisions of this world, we also should place our trust in Him for the Iman that we have. Because even like the Iman, even like the belief in the Islam, like you don't attribute this to yourself. You thank Allah for like guiding us. Alhamdulillah. Like that's one of the du'as in the Quran is all praise and thanks is to Allah, to the one who's guided us to this. That's one of the du'as of the believers. And I wanted to bring up a significant thing about Muslims. One of the most significant traits of a Muslim is repentance. And to repent, you have to mess up. This is something, this is nothing but a man commits a sin, repents, commits a sin, repents, commits a sin, repents. A woman commits a sin, repents, commits a sin, repents, commits a sin, repents. What would you call it? This is a Muslim. That's the only character trait. That's the only category you fit in is a Muslim. Kafir is not repenting. Hypocrite is not repenting. A Muslim repents. And that's something I think a lot of people, just because you sin, like, subhanAllah, it's what are you going to do now? You've messed up. You're human. We get it. But to have a breakdown and to leave off everything, you give up and you say like, oh, Allah would never allow me to do this. I don't believe him. Like all these things, like, subhanAllah, it's like one big test.
It's real. And bro, you'd rather, like I said in the previous podcast, you'd rather be someone who can consistently mess up and still seek forgiveness. Because when you can't seek forgiveness or you don't even recognize that you should be seeking forgiveness, that's when you've lost it, bro. Because if Allah's mercy is the greatest thing that, like, his greatest attribute that we know of, because everything was created out of Allah's mercy, his mercy encompasses all things, and you stop seeking his mercy, where have you gone now?
Like that's where, the biggest,
has your,
that's the
where
biggest
has your
loss.
Love for Allah gone if you don't even seek his mercy? Not even despairing. You don't even seek it. You don't even ask for him for it anymore. Like, think about this. Look, if you have people who've ever advised you, whether it's on social media or your friends or whatever, and your first step is to defend yourself or people are defending you, why don't you ever ask yourself, is this person coming to me like from the side of Allah or from the side of Shaitan? Would someone tell me, hey, maybe it's better for you not to do this? Would Shaitan be the one influencing them? Or would it be Allah? Like, imagine that. I'm just being so real right now, because the mindset that you develop within yourself and with other people, for one, yes, we should assume the better of others and we should try to deal our best and give nasiha in the best way, not be too morally strict and all these types of things, but you should also assume better of them. Assume better that maybe there is something that they're trying to advise me on. Maybe they didn't do it in the best way. I'm going to assume better of them and just try to take the good and leave the bad. We don't take the good and leave the bad anymore. Hey, we don't take nothing.
But hold on, though. You took their advice. You recognized it. You're going to get rewarded for that. Now, look, you come back and you counteract and you advise them as well in the way that they are advising you in a good way. You can also get rewarded for that, too. Like, it's always going to be a win-win situation if you take it that way. You got to look at it that way. If you don't look at it that way, then you in a lose-lose situation. You ain't take their advice, and you ain't helping them out either. So guess what? Now y'all both at loss. You know what I mean? Bro,
start developing the mindset that people around you, especially, like, your friends and family, if they were to ever tell you something, with advice, and hopefully, like, they deal with you in a good way, that perhaps this person genuinely wants what's best for me. They're not trying to stop you from doing what you want or whatever, this and that, but maybe they see something, or maybe they've experienced this as well. Nobody would tell you something if they didn't tell you something maybe is wrong, if they didn't genuinely want something better for you. I even look at it myself. I see someone who does something that I used to do, maybe knowingly or unknowingly. I'm like, damn, bro, if only they knew. But sometimes I don't have the ability to go out and publicly say it, because I don't want to say something wrong, or I don't want to be too harsh or whatever. I just keep it to myself. But if I can't, like, if you can't deal with people the way that you want to be dealt with, or even when you're not dealt with the way you want to be dealt with and still show compassion and mercy for a person, then perhaps that's why you're not married.
Matter of fact, do not deal with people how they want to be dealt with. Deal with people the way Allah wants you to deal with them. That's it. You know, simple as that. No, I'm being serious, because some people, they like that hard stuff. Some people, they like, no, just go based on a halal manner. If Allah likes something, then that's the way that you got to take.
Bro, that's beautiful advice, because look, no matter who you're dealing with, deal with them seeking Allah's favor, not seeking their favor, not doing, oh, what would they be pleased with, or how would they respond to this? how would Allah respond to you if you were to deal with this person this way? And that's going to carry you through every relationship, your friends, your family, your spouse, because Allah ordained for you like a beautiful relationship with all these types of people, and they're all different. But if your dealings with your spouse, let's say you guys are in an argument, but you're calm, you're not trying to get angry, you're trying to follow the sunnah, is Allah not going to be pleased with you? Is that not the best way to deal with your spouse in a way that Allah is going to give you, grant you his favor? Like, if Allah tells you that in like a relationship such as marriage, he grants you mawadda wa rahma, and you want to also have sakina in this relationship, then how are you going to develop that? By seeking Allah's favor.
And yeah, Allah. I mean, yeah, that's not to mention that we're not going to be the type of person to get mad. Like, yes, you're going to get mad. You're going to get upset. You're going to get this and that. But when you truly follow Allah's way in the messenger, like, that's the solution to your problems. Like, they're not just there for no reason. You understand what I'm saying? Like, just because you're mad, like you said, doesn't give me the excuse to punch you in the face. No, what did Rasulullah say? If you're standing up, sit down. If you're sitting down, you know,
make lay
wudu.
Down.
Yeah, make wudu. Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, things of that nature. Like, there's a process that you got to follow. You know what I'm saying? That obviously doesn't mean let people walk all over you, but you gotta understand, like, where to draw the line. Bro. If you just follow the way of the Rasulullah, you will not be astray.
I like how you said the word process. Like, there's a process that we should follow for every single type of situation that we can get in, especially things that cause us to be emotional or may even affect our spirituality. Because, like, think about it for anger. We're told what to do when you get angry. What are you supposed to do when you pray? You're supposed to make wudu, right? You have to make wudu. You have to make your intention. If you're getting angry, you're told to either sit down, lay down, go make wudu. Do things that are going to possibly take you away from retaliating with this anger that you're feeling. And if you follow that process, obviously, is Allah not going to relieve you of this?
Look, how many times... y'all ever see somebody, they get so mad, they start pacing back and forth, then they finally sit down and then they calm down? Like, is that not already proof enough right there? You know what I mean? Like, they'll go from pacing back and forth to hitting one of these. Like, I'm serious. You know what I mean? Like, that stuff works. You know what I mean? And they're doing it unknowingly. Now imagine when you do it knowingly that, okay, this is how the Prophet would have done it, and this is the way that Allah wants me to do it. Let me think about that in the moment while also doing the action. Like, you know what I mean? Now you're doubling down. You know what I mean? Like, you got Allah in your mind now, and you got, you know, the way of the Prophet in your mind, and you following the action process too as well.
I can give you guys some personal perspective. Like, sometimes we could like argue, I guess you could say, or have like a very loud discussion. but we're not, for one, even if we get mad. Okay, let's say for me and my brother, since we're brothers, yes, we've argued. Sometimes we raise our voices. It seems like we're angry, but then like in a snap of a finger, we could be very calm, because it's like we were never even talking out of anger, out of malice, or angry at each other. We were just talking about a situation. But that's something that when you understand that no problem that persists between you and your friends or you and your family, or you and your spouse, is not about you and versus your spouse or you versus that person. It's you and versus the problem.
Exactly. It's never about arguing to prove the other person wrong. It's because whenever there's a disagreement between any of us, it's always one of us believes something to the truth and the other believes a different person to the truth, and we're trying to prove our point. It's not about proving the other person wrong. And once one person sees it as the truth, then it's like with a snap of a finger, all right. It's not about arrogance. It's not about feeling like your manhood diminished. Like, it's not about anything.
You got to understand. 5-10 minutes later, you realize 99.9% of the stuff you get mad at or upset at, it's just not really worth it. You know what I mean?
In a month, you're like, not going to be thinking about it.
Like, I mean, like, something that just really stuck with me, like, things like, if I lend somebody some money, like $20, $25, and they don't pay me back, like, is my friendship really worth $20, $25? No, it's not worth the meal. Matter of fact, Allah's going to reward me for that. There you go. Like, think about that. You do things for the sake of Allah, you're not even expecting anything back. You know what I mean? Obviously, that doesn't mean if somebody made a promise to you, obviously don't keep on it. But but at the end of the day, let's say they forget or something happens or they don't end up paying you back, because people will betray you. You know what I mean? Like, you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for Allah. So at the end of the day, you still know that your reward lies with Allah. Things of that nature.
I like to take the mentality, like, especially just talking about like loans and stuff like that. If you're giving money out, don't give out more than you're not ready to receive back. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, like, if they can't pay you back, be ready to not get that money back when you give it out. Mm-hmm. So if someone asks you for $10,000 and you're not ready for them to say, like, look, I can't pay you back, then don't give that money out. Tell them, look, I'll give you some of it. I'll give you enough to that, like, I don't need you to pay me back.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, at the end of the day, you ain't got to do it at all.
Yeah, exactly. That's
you don't even have to do it at all.
But if you're, you know, trying to give out that sadaqah, like, I always like to just give out what I'm ready to not receive back, because I don't really care. Because I know, like, look, if I give this with the intention that this is a sadaqah for the sake of Allah to whoever is asking for it, then I'm going to get rewarded regardless. They may pay me back, or I may get that money elsewhere. It doesn't, like, to me, it doesn't really matter, because once again, money is not coming from my bank account going to their bank account. It's going to come back to me this way.
Like, matter of fact, yeah, speaking of that, like, your risk, like, your money, bro, it's all predetermined anyways. So whether that finds this or that way, like, what's coming for you is what's coming for you. That's it. Not a dollar more, not a dollar less, not a penny more, not a penny less. You're not going to die until you've received all your provision.
Max. And then once, if you make it to Jannah, you got that unlimited provision. Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing I want to say is, like, just to continue this reassurance of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that, like, going back to, you know, reminding ourselves of our relationship with Allah is constantly, for one, seeking to do better. Because if, like, the iman you had 4 years ago is not going to be the iman that you need today, right? The iman that you are constantly supposed to develop, it's supposed to grow. Just like you grow as a person, just like you go through new experiences and you learn new things about yourself and about life and about Allah and Islam, your iman is also going to have that same progression. If it's not, meaning if you're literally doing the same exact thing that you were doing 4 years ago, you're not in the right place. Now you're wondering, oh, why is my iman always feeling low? Why am I always feeling distant? What have you done to try to get closer to Allah? Why would Allah continue to increase you and give you all these good feelings that you're seeking from having, like, high iman when your discipline hasn't changed at all? You haven't developed any new habits. You haven't done anything to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can always establish the fard, amazing, because that's the most beloved to Allah. But the more things you do that are beloved to Allah, the more Allah is going to love you. Man, how do you not see that?
Is Ramadan not a perfect sign of that? Like seriously. Like, most of us, we're not reflecting upon Ramadan enough. We not. Like, if Ramadan wasn't your best month yet, something got to change. You know what I mean? Like, something is definitely wrong, and you have to sit there and you really have to reflect, right? And obviously, that doesn't mean, like, if you had a bad Ramadan, like, you know, we already passed that now. Like, alhamdulillah, you're hearing this right now. You have a new opportunity to change, and you have the ability to change, right? Because death has not reached you yet. So if you're not at that point yet, then, you know, you better look into it, and you better fix whatever it is that you got going on. Because, nice. You know what I mean? Like, that's a problem right there.
That is true, man. Overall, I think that concludes, like, some of the points. I think this is really good, bro. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think that concludes what we have for you in this podcast, inshallah. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. And hopefully you guys took some benefit and can share a reminder with anyone. And if you did, you know, I'd love to see what your favorite moment was from this podcast. But that being said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Appreciate you guys for watching. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you could change by sharing this video. We're obviously not scholars. So, you know, we're still learning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.